Blog Talk Radio.
People, welcome, family. Thank you so very much for joining the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omega 7 here live, coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to say habarigani to my old friends and what's up to my new friends. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're joining the show on Reordering the Marriage Vows of the African American. This is a remix, as you know, and we're going to continue on this topic. I have been carrying this topic over to our after hours, and we will be going to our after hours show this evening as well. And those of you who have been out on Facebook, you were able to get that call-in bridge number. So directly after we finish here, we'll go over to our extended room where we will actually be able to talk in our private extended bridge. Once again, we're talking about reordering the marriage vows. And that means that we are going to be mixing up our own vows and creating our own memorandums. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I want to take a short trip out of here to Carolina, and then we're going to get right into the topic. And we won't be doing our libation tonight because we're running behind, but we are going to take a short station identification because the band got to go take a break. Hold on. Meet you in the air.
Have that talent. Welcome.
For coming in the room, and those of you who are joining us by way of your chat rooms, we want you to get in here and start posting to the chat, and our discussion is about to start, so we're going to just bring you right in to the discussion, ladies and gentlemen. But those of you who want to be in the chat room, we're asking you to come on into the chat room and post your statements. Of course, once again, we're talking about the family, and you know how I feel about it. And we're going to have to try to make this really, really quick because we got on here a little bit late today. Sorry about that. Homie's been doing a lot of things, as you know, busybody, busybody. Reordering the marriage vows. Because we want to reorder our marriage vows is because now we've come into age. We realize that a marriage vow, it is nothing unless you have input in it. We've been using boilerplate marriage vows for long enough. Now, African-Americans want to do it for themselves. I've been seeing new articles being written by various different people talking about rewriting the marriage vow. We're reordering the marriage vows because we want to take those old African marriage vows that we might have used when we jumped the broom, and we want to revamp them. We don't want to just leave everything out there boned and start from scratch. We don't want to reinvent all of the wheel, but some of it. So let me hold on to the steering wheel for a minute, and let me stir the wheel for you and keep you in the driver's seat while I'm doing it. What we want to make sure is that we understand that we're trying to do things in a spiritual manner. As you know, we always do a spiritual prayer, or we lift our knowledge, our higher self, and we say something great about the great I am. And all of us should know by now that I have confirmed that the great I am lives within us. There's nothing on the outside that is going to come from the universe to help us but us. And we are the great I am. So when we pray, we're praying to ourselves. So we got that clear. Now, as we know that marriage is a very sacred thing, and you don't want to be hastily and jump into it. You want to take your time, and you want to make sure you know the other opponent. And we want to make sure we spend quality time with them. Now, as everyone knows that I am engaged, and Omi went through a whole procedure on looking for Mr. Right. And boy, did I do the doggone thing. I had the show going for weeks where I was looking for Mr. Right. And at that time, we brought in a little satire, a little comedy. We made it fun. And I then expressed the fact that I had found my beau, my Boaz. And at that time, my old fancy, Teju Olaboni, came back into my life. And he was the one who I had accepted as my king for a day. And remember when Melvin came back? We made it possible to accept him, too. And guess what? My real Boaz showed up maybe 3 or 4 months after that. Isn't that funny how you can summon the person that you're really supposed to be with? But we had to look at, were we doing things too fast? Do we need to slow things down a bit? And did we need to postpone anything? Sometimes you have to postpone things. Maybe you're a little premature about having that lasting relationship and pushing for the marriage, knowing that it's a little bit too premature. I can make mistakes sometimes too, you know, and I'm not afraid to admit it. Maybe I might have been a little premature about jumping into the marriage quickly as I wanted to, but I did have enough sense to postpone the engagement because we have to take the time to get to know one another. And how do we take that time to get to know one another? We spend quality time with each other. And if there's not enough time before the marriage engagement, then we give it more time. You can add a few more months on, even a few more years if need be, until that couple matures. Maturity is everything in a relationship. You can't very well say you know a person if you're living apart and you don't have the quality dates together and you don't go out frequently together and you're waiting for that one special day of the month to be together. That's a difficult thing to do when you're living apart and you're engaged. Very difficult. I've never had to do something as such as difficult as this. So even Omi, even the marriage counselor is struggling in her engagement. And I'm ready to confess it, ladies and gentlemen. I might need a dose of juju, mama. I might need somebody to come and carry me over the bridge because I'm even struggling with a long-distance relationship. I'm soliciting your help. I'm soliciting help from anybody out there that might be able to give it because more than anything, I want to master relationships because I am the relationship guru just as I'm the social media. So I take pride in knowing the right thing to do and not being prematurely jumping the gun. So I'm going to slow down my caravan a little bit just so that I don't deceive other people and send them off on a tangent because I'm excited about relationships and I send somebody over the river or over the cliff. So Omi's pulling the caravan in. I'm pulling the whole team in. And we're going to get in the huddle, and I'm asking the tribe to come in the huddle because I've got to make some tribal decisions. And when you make some tribal decisions, it's okay to consult your audience. So I'm consulting my audience right about now, saying I need to make some tribal decisions. Do I postpone the relationship? Do I extend it? Do I put it on hold? Or do I put more time in with it? I have all kinds of thoughts running through my head right now, but I'm going to share them with you because you're my family. And I've trusted you with my relationship just as you trusted me with yours. Remember, I was the first one that said that the first thing you have to do is marry yourself back to the community. So guess what? You have to tell people a bit of your business in order for them to get involved. That's right. You're going to have to involve those people that you say are a part of your tribe. Because when you make decisions, some of your decisions are tribal decisions that you look to your community and your group to make the decision. You do not make isolated decisions by yourself on everything, especially when it comes to communal living and communal lifestyle. So I'm looking to you for this one. Should I put it on hold? Should I extend it a little bit longer? Or should I just jump into it head first and say, whatever happens, it's going to happen? Well, being the kind of person that I am, I don't like to go head first on anything. I like to give it a lot of thought, and I like to put the spirit to it. And I'm getting ready to put the spirit to it because, see, the spirit will give you all things that are unseen in a relationship, seen and unseen, and help you to know where you're going with it. Now, the spirit has already revealed a couple of things to me, and I've asked them to reveal to me. And it's okay for us to go to the spirit and say, Spirit, if this and XYZ doesn't happen, send me a sign so I'll know which path to take. Well, I received the sign today, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not afraid to tell you, I prayed for a sign, and I received the sign today, and I received a confirmation. The confirmation came back well solidified, and I received it from the Spirit, and it gave me the green light to go ahead. But at the same time, I want you to know you ought to take precautions like that. You ought to ask your tribal friends and your group mates about making joint decisions. Even when it comes to a relationship, I don't care if it's just you and him in that relationship. Consult a girlfriend, consult a boyfriend, consult someone that you trust. It's a tribal effect, and some of our decisions are going to be tribal from the group. We feel better when we've ran it by the group and the group has okayed it or endorsed it or denied it and asked you to void and make it known and void. Sometimes you have to go back. Sometimes you have to admit I was wrong. I have to start over. This isn't right. It's not working. We got to change it. But when you have love, and love is the seat of a relationship, no matter what else happens around that relationship, love will cover a multitude of sin and error. I want to say this again. Love at the center of any relationship will cover a multitude of inadequacy, of sin, of error. Our whole life has been an error because we've walked after Adam. Adam was the error. He was an exception. He was the counterfeit in what God was trying to show us. So we have been living a life after error. African Americans can change things now. We no longer have to walk and live after error. We can live after pure, immaculate certainty that something's going to work. When we have love, no matter how grim a situation may look, the love will cover that inadequacy. If we have infidelity, love will cover that inadequacy. If we have googly eyes where a person is constantly looking at some other opposite sex, love will cover a multitude of that too. So woman, I want to tell you, when you feel that you're in a relationship and things are not going like you think they should go, and you truly love that person from the top of their head to the bottom of their soul, let love cover those inadequacies. Men, if you have a woman and you don't feel like she's sincere in all that she's doing, but you love her from the back of her weave to the top of her French phrase, let love cover a multitude of inadequacy. No one's perfect. You're never going to get a utopia. You're never going to find Mr. Right. He doesn't exist. She doesn't exist. What do? We step into a situation giving all that we got and giving ourselves first of all, honestly giving ourselves and loving in that situation. like tomorrow doesn't matter, because if they err and if they go on the wrong side of the track, or should they carry over to the left or the right, we can forgive them and continue to love them in spite of their inadequacy, because we know that none of us have a utopia situation. But at the same time, we learn from those mistakes and we advance ourselves and go on. That grows us closer to get to know more about that person's personality or their character. We have character flaws, and the way we fix our character flaws, someone first must notice that there's a character flaw. Sometimes we can go through life with blinders on, not knowing we have a character flaw, and function as if we're just as good as the next Joe Blow or Susie. Then we finally hear someone that is bold enough to step up to us and say, you've got a character flaw in that area. We've got to change it. I love you enough to help you work on it. I love and admire you enough to be patient with you while you exercise the right to develop strength in that area. We got to find a way to stop looking for utopia, perfect situation, because in our flaws, we find the beauty in our flaws. So why would someone say, well, I didn't know you that well. I didn't think you had that attitude. I didn't feel like we were on one accord. You're never going to be on one accord. You're going to be either one swimming upstream or one going downstream. And there's a beauty in that, because duality comes with indifferences. Sometimes we are attracted and magnified by indifferences. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't go saying, huh, she and I are not compatible. Oh, we're not of the same cloth and zodiac sign. How many times will a zodiac specialist tell you, you're going to meet Mr. Wright and you and him are going to be both a fire sign, or you'll both be an air sign or an earth sign? You're not going to find that. Yes, it's true that earth signs work easier together because it's easier to work with those who are grounded in the earth. Yes, it's true if you are in the fire category and you're Sagittarius and the Aries, and both of you are both fired up and you're always fired up. But you can lean a little bit over to the water sign as well, because if you're all fired up, you need a little water to put you out anyway. So don't go getting all strung out. Realize that you got 11 personalities. And with 11 personalities, at any time, any one of those people can show up. Yes, you're a bit schizophrenic. And at any given time, you can manifest any one of those 11 characters, meaning that you can get along with just about anybody in the world. That's how we were created. So who's going to tell me I married a man that we were never compatible in the first place? You make yourself compatible by giving and taking, by giving and taking, doing and subjecting yourself to sacrifices. It's very vital that you should hear me now, because it's going to take sacrifice. Take it from a woman that's been in a relationship with the same man for 40 years. Yes, you learn everything about that person, and you learn when it's time to give, you learn when it's time to forsake yourself and push back or pull up. So when you get into new relationships, you have to explain to the new man, well, listen, I realize that I must take my turn to push back and give you the go-ahead and let you take the lead on this one. Take turns taking the lead. Give a person a choice sometimes. Don't always feel like you can't possibly be wrong. Oh, I can't possibly be wrong because I've been right all my life, you know. I'm always doing things right. I'm always on the money. You're not always on the money, and nor is she always on the money. And don't expect her to be. Because when you find Mr. Perfect, come and get me. Please come and get me. I want to meet him or her. Because with these flaws, we come here, and we will leave this earth with these flaws, whether we enter into an institution or not. An institution only makes us a better person. An institution only gives us the ability to learn more about ourselves. And guess what? You and I don't know each other. And I don't even know myself that well, and neither do you. You are just introducing yourself to yourself. And every day you're finding out more and more about yourself. And as you find that out, you become more clear about what it is you can't do and what it is you can do and what it is you are master at and what it is you still need work in. So take it from Omi. Reordering your relationships means being honest with yourself, being able to stand back and see yourself for who you are. How is it that you can get into an argument and you be the one to bring the argument and you're bringing the heat